Well, we bring our series this morning on the One Another Commands to a close. We've been looking together over the past several weeks. You recall at the One Another Commands, there's actually 59 One Another Commands. I thought about preaching on all of them, but I figured you might get a little sick of hearing about all of them. But there are 59. We've looked at about six or seven of them. And we looked, like I said, as we close, to the call to forgive one another. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that we hear a lot about in the church. We are told, first of all, that God forgives us, and we are very grateful for that, because God's forgiveness makes our lives possible. And then we are called to forgive one another. We hear a lot about forgiveness. Yet as familiar as we are with the idea of forgiveness, I wonder how many of us have actually taken the time to consider what it means to forgive another person. For example, have you ever taken the time to think about what it actually means for you to forgive someone else? We're fairly quick to both ask for forgiveness and hopefully often to forgive forgiveness, but what is forgiveness all about? Well, for some people, forgiveness is just a way of sweeping things under the rug. The people who forgive like this are basically saying, forget about it. I don't want to deal with it. It hurts too much. So let's just put it away. For them, that's forgiveness. And though these people want to put the past away, the truth is they rarely put the past away. For others, forgiveness is simply a way of saying, we won't deal with this now, but it will come up in a future conversation. These kind of forgivers are ticking time bombs, and you'll never know when the past is going to explode all over the house. For others, forgiveness, if it's going to be true forgiveness, must involve a complete erasure of all bad memories. For such people, to forgive truly is to forget, and if you haven't forgotten, you haven't forgiven. I think you're all familiar with at least one of these kinds of forgiveness or kinds of forgivers. But is that what forgiveness really is? And if it isn't, what is? What's a proper understanding of forgiveness? And how do we learn to forgive each other so that we can live together as members of the body of Christ? Well, in answer to those questions, I want to direct your attention to our text for this morning from Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Where Paul addresses the subject of forgiveness, and he helps us understand forgiveness and to know how we ought to offer forgiveness in the words that he gives us this morning, as he encourages us to build the body through the process, through the work of forgiveness. Paul begins by, first of all, talking to us about the nature of forgiveness. Look again at the text. He says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Now, as Paul calls us to forgive here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, he uses a very unusual word, and that's the word charizomai. Actually, technically, charizomai does not mean to forgive. But Paul uses it when he talks about forgiveness. He uses it because it's a word that teaches us about the heart and soul of forgiveness. You see, charizomai literally means to give freely, or to give graciously, or to give as a favor. The word has as its root the Greek word for grace, which is charis. Can you hear that? You're charis and charizomai. And so there's a sense in which we could take this word charizomai and we could interpret it as grace-giving. In using this word, charizomai, which has such strong connections to the word grace, Paul wishes to make something crystal clear to us about forgiveness, and that is this, is that forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift which we bestow upon another person, no strings attached. Many of you might be familiar with the old definition of grace that goes something like this, that grace is undeserved or unmerited favor. Grace is something that's simply given. It's given not because someone has earned it, it's given not because someone deserves it, but grace, by the nature of grace, is that it's just a gift. It is freely given. And as Paul uses this word charizomai, what he wants to make very clear to us is this, is that forgiveness is simply given. It has the nature of God's grace in it. God's grace is given fully and freely, and so is forgiveness. So often when we think about extending forgiveness to someone, we think of it in terms of giving forgiveness to somebody who's worthy to be forgiven. Now, let me ask you, what makes a person worthy to be forgiven? Does an apology do it? Does some intense groveling do it? That's what most of us would really like, wouldn't we? Some kind of repayment? Expressed regret? But by using this word, what Paul does is he challenges all of those ideas about worth, because what he's saying to us is forgiveness is not about worth. It is not about a person being worthy to receive that forgiveness. Rather, forgiveness is simply given. Now, if you're like me and you hear that statement that forgiveness is intended to simply be given, no strings attached, even to that slob who hurt me so badly, your response is, it's unfair. That's not right. They caused me a lot of pain. It's not fair. It's unfair for them to just receive forgiveness. And you know what my response to that is? To myself, first of all, but then also to those of you who might be thinking that? You're right. Forgiveness isn't fair. But it's proper. It's proper because God commands it of us. It's proper because if we are going to live together as people of love, as people who love one another, forgiveness is necessary. And once again, we're being led back, as we have with every one of these one another commands, to the command to love one another. The base of our command here is to love each other. We had a larger portion of Scripture read because I wanted you to see what follows the call to forgive each other in verse 13. In verse 14, Paul says this, "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Without love, forgiveness is impossible. With love, forgiveness is a gift freely given. Lewis Smedes, a number of years ago, wrote a marvelous book entitled Forgive and Forget. And I would encourage you to read this book, especially if you're wrestling with forgiveness. It's a little hard to find now because I don't think it's in print anymore. I have a copy, and if you're willing to, you know, leave a deposit of $50, I'll let you borrow it. No. If you'd like to borrow it, I'll let you borrow it. But it's a marvelous book, and it's kind of interesting because in the book entitled Forgive and Forget, Smedes actually comes down to saying that forgiveness and forgetting are not the same thing. Even though he entitles it that way, he says that that's not really the point of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not about forgetting. Forgiveness is about giving ourselves to someone else and changing the way we think about them, but not necessarily forgetting the past. But in his book on forgiveness, Forgive and Forget, Smedes writes the following. He says, forgiving is love's toughest work and love's biggest risk. Forgiving seems almost unnatural. Our sense of fairness tells us people should pay for the wrong they do, but forgiving is love's power to break nature's rule. It is the rule of law, it is the rule of nature that people should pay for what they do. But forgiveness breaks that law. Forgiveness is a tool wielded by the loving heart. Forgiveness is a tool wielded by an individual who understands the importance and value of community. You see, one of the basic facts about our life together here in Christ is this. As we live together as a church, as we live together as a body of Christ, we're going to hurt each other. Anytime you get a group of human beings together, they're going to hurt each other, intentionally or unintentionally. But as we live in the body of Jesus Christ, the important point is this, is that when we get hurt, we don't have a right to walk away. When we get hurt, we don't have a right to lash out at our brothers and sisters in Christ, because as we've been saying throughout this series, we are part of the body of Christ, and the body needs us, and we need the body. These people are God's gift to you to help you grow in Christ's likeness. Now, that gift may not always be as pleasant as you'd like it to be, But God gives us one another so that we might grow in Christ's likeness. And one of the powerful ways that we grow in Christ's likeness is through the practice of forgiveness. To forgive each other. The only way that the body of Christ continues to exist in community and harmony is if we exercise forgiveness. And the only way that forgiveness continues to be exercised in the community is if we, in love, offer it to one another freely. There is no other choice. Now, by that, I don't mean to imply that we should never, as members of the church, apologize to each other. In fact, I'm saying exactly the opposite. I think we need to be aware of the fact that as we live together in community, we hurt each other, and we need to own that part. Whether we did it intentionally or unintentionally, we need to be quick to apologize. But then we also need to be quick to forgive. Now, when I say that we should be quick to forgive, I want to make it very clear, though, that forgiveness, while it is free, is never cheap. Forgiveness has a price. The Apostle Paul makes that clear when he talks to us about the model of forgiveness. After telling us to bear with one another, each other, and to forgive one another, Paul finishes out verse 13 with these words. He says, forgive, again it's that word charizomai, forgive as Christ forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, how did Jesus go about forgiving? How do we forgive as Jesus forgave? Well, how did Jesus go about forgiving you? Well, he died for you, didn't he? He took your sin upon himself. He paid the price so that you might be free. Now, none of us are the perfect son or daughter of God. We can't die for other people, but we can imitate Jesus in this, in taking the pain of another's sin upon ourselves, of in our bodies, in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, paying the price for what someone else has done. Jesus shows us that the heart of forgiveness is the willingness to bear the pain of another's sin. Gregory Jones, in his book, Embodying Forgiveness, writes the following. He says, every time we kill resentment and raise up kindness, every time we mortify pride and bring humility to life, every time we put off hatred and put on mercy, we die and rise with Christ. Each time we forgive, we make the sign of the cross, and then we rejoice over the empty tomb. Each time we forgive, we put a contract out on our old self, the timidly self-righteous self, or the proud grudge-bearing self, and then we pull the trigger ourselves. Each time we forgive, we absorb evil without passing it on, and then rise like Christ with healing in our wings. I love that phrase, that statement in there, that when we forgive, we absorb evil without passing it on. There's a cycle of unforgiveness where evil begets evil, begets evil, begets evil. And our challenge as Christians is, how do you break that cycle? And Paul says it's by grace, by forgiveness, freely given. Wouldn't it be amazing to be a part of a church where people, when they are hurt, say something like this to each other, "What you did hurt me. But because I value you as a sister in Christ, because I value you as a brother in Christ, because I love you in Jesus Christ, I choose to forgive. I choose not to pursue what you owe me." One of the things that stands in our way, the biggest thing that stands in our way as we try to live with each other as family members is the belief that we are owed something. Whether that's an apology or reparations or amends of some kind, or whether that's some kind of groveling and tears and sorrow, we think we are owed something. And when we don't get what we think we are owed, we harden our hearts towards each other. The Problem with that is this, is that when we harden our hearts towards another member of the body of Christ, it's not only the two of us that have difficulty, it's all of us that have difficulty. Ask Joe Wienink about one little artery and how it can affect the entire body. Or Rich Sloat as he prepares to have four arteries, little arteries, they're not very big, and how it messes up the entire life, the entire body. When there is a blockage between brothers and sisters in Christ, the whole body suffers. Forgiveness breaks the logjam of ungrace. I love that phrase, that word, ungrace. It's a word that Philip Yancey and Neil Plantinga are very fond of using. Ungrace is that anger and that resentment that we allow to build up within us. Ungrace is that unwillingness to pass along to others what we have received from God Himself. Forgiveness breaks the logjam. Forgiveness breaks the anger. It breaks the resentment. It breaks down this stuff we have built up against each other. And in my mind, there's probably not a better Sunday for us to be talking about forgiveness than a Sunday in which we are anticipating celebrating the Lord's Supper 7 days hence. Next week, Sunday, we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is all about forgiveness. Remember what the pastor says. Remember what I say when I hold up that little piece of bread or that little cup of juice. What do I say to you? I say, take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of Christ has been given for a complete forgiveness of all your sins. To partake of the body and blood of Christ is, first of all, to say I'm forgiven. But to partake of the body and blood of Christ is also to say, I choose to forgive. What I find so incredibly powerful, when Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, I believe it's in the Gospel of Matthew, and it might be in Mark as well, but in the Gospel of Matthew for sure, when Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, the only thing he comes back to talk about after he gets done teaching the Lord's Prayer is what? Forgiveness. You think this is on Jesus' mind? And so as we prepare to come to the table next week and partake of that bread and that cup, I want to lay two challenges before you this morning. And the first challenge is this. I want you to spend some time this week thinking about the depth of your need for forgiveness. This week, I want you not to be thinking about other people's need for forgiveness. That's pretty easy, isn't it? But I want you to think about your own. Think about what Jesus had to do for you. Think about how, if it wasn't for Christ's grace in your life, how you would be lost, utterly lost. When we think about the depth of our own sin, two things happen. We become grateful that we have been forgiven, and then we love because we have been loved. Jesus, in Luke chapter 7, verse 47, says this. He says, he who loves much has been forgiven much, and he who loves little has been forgiven little. You know what the irony of Jesus' comment? What's the irony of Jesus' comment? We've all been forgiven much. There's nobody that stands before God and says, God, I need that much forgiveness. It's Jesus' point. We're all desperately in need of forgiveness. And while we always get fixated on other people's problems and other people's difficulties and what they've done to us, we rarely stop and think about our own need for forgiveness. So this week I want you to do that. Spend some time thinking about your need for forgiveness, the people that you've hurt, the times you've ignored God, the sins that you have committed, the habits that you can't kill, all of those things that would exclude you from the grace of God. but for the forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That's the first challenge. The second challenge is this. I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to bring someone to mind that you need to forgive, or someone that needs to forgive you. Could be somebody that's living a far, long ways away. Could be somebody that you haven't seen for years. It could be somebody that you see at the breakfast table every morning. Ask the Lord to bring that person to your mind. And then take a vow to step into forgiveness with that person. Forgiveness, all of those who have written about it will say, is a process. It's not an event. It takes time. But I want to encourage you to reach out to that individual, that person, that either has something against you or you have something against them, and to begin the process of forgiveness. To say, I'd like to have us have a whole relationship. I'd like to forgive you, or I'd like to be forgiven by you so that we can continue our life together. Don't get hung up on whether or not that person is worthy. Don't get hung up on whether you are worthy, if it's something that you have done and you're feeling that on you. But remember that forgiveness is a gift freely given. What I'm calling you to do is this, is to walk with Christ, to bear the pain of sin, but also to bestow the grace of forgiveness. Because that's the way we go about building the body. That's about how we go about living with one another in a way that pleases and honors God. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we know that we are desperately in need of forgiveness. We don't often stop and think about our sin and how it separates us from you. But Lord, I pray for each of us, for myself, for each and every one of us, that this week you would bring home the truth of our own need for forgiveness. And then remind us, Lord, of the gift, the free gift of grace and forgiveness and life that we have in Jesus Christ. And then, Father, I pray that you will help us to step into that forgiveness that you call us to carry out, that love that you encourage us to extend. Pray, Father, that you give us the courage to forgive others and to be forgiven, so that together we might live in harmony, in unity, in the way that brings honor and grace and praise to your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.